Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
Translation: His collarbone was fleshy, his chest broad and thick, his navel deep, and his abdomen beautifully striped. His arms were long, and curly hair was thrown over his beautiful face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Krishna. Purport: His bodily features indicate him to be different from common men. All the signs described in connection with the bodily features of Sukadev Goswami are uncommon symptoms typical of great personalities according to physiognomical calculations. His bodily hue resembled that of Lord Krishna, who is the supreme among the gods, demigods, and all living beings. Om Jnanate Nirandasya Jnananjaya Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Just to repeat the translation: His collarbone was fleshy, his chest broad and thick, his navel deep, and his abdomen beautifully stripped or striped. His arms were long, and curly hair was thrown over his beautiful face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Shri Krishna. So, thank you everyone for allowing me to sit again on this Vyasa Sun. It's been a very long time since I actually sat here. It's, and I'd forgotten how comfortable it actually is. It's very comfortable, so you can actually sit here all day. I should do it more often. So I'd just like to seek blessings of all the Vaishnavas who've gathered here in the temple room and online, all the seniors, Prayojana Prabhu, Sita Prabhu, Taruna Prabhu, and Srinivas Prabhu, everyone. Just bestow some blessings on me that I can perhaps say a few words of truth that we will uncover during this talk. And please keep me honest. So I'll be, you know, reaching out to you to keep me honest on the things that I say, and so I can also learn whilst I'm here. Hare Krishna. Okay, so just a recap of this chapter, where we're at on this specific chapter 19, Appearance of Sukadev Goswami. So we know from the last chapter, Maharaj Parikshit was cursed by Sringi, the young son of Shamaka Rishi. And he was, having learned that he was meeting with death very, very soon, was feeling remorseful of his actions that he had committed against this great, great Rishi. So he had renounced everything, sat firmly on the banks of the Ganges, or the Ganga, holy river, to concentrate his mind on Krishna consciousness and the lotus feet of Lord Krishna until the moment of his death. So this is what he decided to do. Most people, when they come across the realization that they're about to die, whether they're healthy or unhealthy, they maybe want to do, okay, I must do my last, things that I want to do in life. Last things I've never not done. If you know 7 days before you're going to die, what would you do? What would you actually do? Commit suicide. 7 days before you're going to die. Well, it's interesting. Yes, Taruna Prabhu. You might, end up with 7 days of a ghostly body, but hey, it's okay. Yes, many, many people would do many things. But Maharaj Parikshit was the emperor of the world. He had association of Lord Krishna from the outset in the womb of Uttara. And so he knew exactly what to do in order to wind up his material duties, his swadharma. He then sat firmly on that banks of the Ganga and meditated upon Lord Sri Krishna. Obviously, he had practice from the outset. He knew the connection. We are still all practicing. What will our state be when we come to the time of death? It's quite a thought to consider. As he sat there, all the great sages, special demigods, kings, special royal orders, Raja Rishis, etc., came from all over the universe, arrived at this place to actually sanctify it as a place of pilgrimage. Maharaj Parikshit folded his hands humbly and stood before them and accepted their presence amongst this very holy place. Demigods and others started scattering flowers to sanctify this place to be the holy place. Maharaj Parikshit was very pleased with all who had assembled there and requested them to continue to speak about Lord Krishna, because they were reciting all the stories about how Lord Krishna was on this planet and how Maharaj Parikshit, who he was, they all knew him. So he was very, very, he felt very, very much at home that, he was amongst Vaishnavas, he was amongst devotees who could actually take care of him during this special time. Now, I was listening to some lecture by His Grace Lal Govinda Prabhu, and he was saying that, what happens with us when we are on our deathbeds? As soon as the family members or the friends find out that we're on our deathbeds, they call around and say, right, he's passing away now. It's any time soon. So the neighbors come and the children come, and then they all gather around on this bed, this poor guy, the man, woman, passing away. And what are they saying? Oh, hello, Dad, or hello, Uncle. Can you remember me? I'm here. We are having this relationship, like this. Oh, and then the neighbor comes. Oh, this is the cat, Twinkie. Do you remember the cat? You used to play with her all the time. And then you're like there. Forget about Krishna consciousness, or forget about remembering Krishna at this time of death. This is a special moment that when you have to be remembering the Lord. What happens is that, you're remembering your families and your friends and your children and so on, and then boom, you die. That was the last thought. What happens? Boom, you're back again in the cycle of birth and death. Interesting, isn't it? So who would we rather die with? Family and friends in a hospital, or amongst these great sages and demigods and Vaishnavas who are singing hymns of the Lord and actually allowing us to be part of that journey in that special, special moment. So you see, we have a choice, whether we to die with friends and family in hospital or we die with Vaishnavas. All about the practice. And so we continue. Maharaj Parikshit was very pleased that they were there. They were debating as to how, because Maharaj Parikshit was asking, what shall I do? What's my duty? What shall I do in the next 7 days when I'm about to die? So they were debating, how should we actually guide him? So as that debate continued, entered the powerful personality son of Vyasadeva, who traveled all over the earth, disinterested about the material life, but he was very satisfied in himself. This personality, just by reading his mannerisms, his character traits, tells us a lot about how we should behave in this material world, in this human form of life. Prabhupada often says in his lecture, even yesterday, Prabhupada was mentioning how, you know, this material world is full of muddas and full of rascals who are just interested in the material life, not interested in actually learning about Krishna consciousness. So this powerful personality, Sukadeva Goswami, as we hear from this purport, very short purport, but it's very, very, is packed with a lot of descriptions about his bodily features. Last week, on Friday's class, Satyarani Mataji explained about the specific descriptions of this great personality. He was just 16 years old. And she was citing all these symptoms of what makes a great personality. How we should respect him and all such personalities. What should our behavior be? How we should describe him from the feet upwards. It gives us directions as to how we actually should address the Lord from the feet upwards. We start at the feet, look at the knees, look at the belly button, so on and so forth, arms, and then the face, and then the hair also. Then today's verse, we talk about these externals and how actually it allows us to connect with the Lord through these character traits. Similarly, when we want to develop relationships with each other, if we recognize these individual character traits, then we can actually form lasting, deeper relationships with each other. And it's something that I want to actually learn, this art of learning and reading character traits. So in this verse today, in this purport, there are vivid descriptions of the transcendental body of Sukadeva Goswami, who has attributes and features like Lord Krishna, and they are indeed uncommon, as it says in the purport. Srila Prabhupada, in his expert command of the English language, uses a specific term. Did anybody recognize that term in the purport? He says the word physiological calculations. And I didn't know what physiological meant. Calculations, yeah, well, maths and abstract maths and stats and so on. Does anybody know what physiological calculations mean? Yes, David Prabhu. Sorry, physiognomical, you're right, thank you. Physiognomical, I can't read without my glasses. Excellent. Excellent description. That's exactly a dictionary description of that. Thank you. Yes, it's the art of determining character or personal characteristics from the form or features of the body, especially the face. So I needed to know a bit more about that. I'll be honest, I actually thought that my class giving slot was next week. And I had forgotten in the festival furor and excitement of His Holiness Bhaktisvarupa Maharaj's and disappearance day and wanting to do the best for him. I thought the class was next week. But I was very fortunate that in the discovery or the research, little research that I did yesterday and the day before, there is a lot of information on Vedabase about physiognomy and this art of determining characteristics through facial readings and bodily language. So there is a... Obviously, we're talking about pure devotees here. We're talking about Sukadeva Goswami. We're talking about different personalities like that. So reading physiognomy of personalities like that, we need to be mindful of that. So let me read this letter that I found. This letter is entitled Physiognomy of a Pure Devotee. It's from a book named Concepts of Reality and written by ISKCON devotees, His Grace Patita Udarana Prabhu and Her Grace Abhaya Mudra Mataji. So it's interesting, and whilst I'm reading this, I'd like you to think about personalities that you have come across and you, or maybe you will come across, to understand what are their character traits, whether they match up from what they look like. Okay? So then I'll ask you later on to give me some inputs as to which personalities you thought of. Okay, here we go. All right, so it begins with, they may not have been even a single person on the planet who would not have somehow reacted to the powerful presence of Srila Prabhupada. Some claim that they did not find him attractive due to their own misguided vision. Remember, we talked about a pure devotee. Others stated his divine grace was the most beautiful living entity they had ever seen. Some have even compared his appearance to that of an Egyptian pharaoh. Yet, no matter what people have said about the appearance of Srila Prabhupada, they always admit he is unique. Again, that link between uncommon traits of personality. All who have seen him agree that they never beheld another person on earth who resembled him. So do we know anyone else like Srila Prabhupada in this world? Have you come across anyone else in this world like Prabhupada? You could say Bhaktisiddhanta, but he had his own personality. You could say Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he had his own personality and he was very unique in his own way. Srila Prabhupada was unique absolutely to every inch of him in his own way. He had a small build like many powerful military leaders like Napoleon. But Srila Prabhupada's facial features drew the most attention, particularly his eyes, which were the windows to the soul of a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada's eyes were warm and beautiful, with protruding skin all around them. His brown eyes show warmth and a refined writing ability. The baggy eyes illustrate deep memory and facility to grasp facts. Isn't that so true? The high distance between the iris and the eyebrows show an explicit ability to grasp shape, color, and geometrical variations of abstract, as well as manifest phenomenon. So what that means is that he was able to read people very quickly. In many, many Prabhupada memories we've heard during breakfast time, whenever we sometimes taking breakfast or lunch, we listen to Srila Prabhupada memories. And so many of his disciples say that, oh, we met Prabhupada for the first time and I felt completely naked in front of Prabhupada. Why? Because he was able to see us and see us in the heart. Actually, how he was able to understand that personality very, very well. Why? Because he had these character traits. The high distance between the iris and the eyebrows showed an explicit ability to grasp shape, color, and geometric variation. So he was able to do exactly all of these things. The flat cheeks display his facility to move amongst others without being invasive. Although the distant space between the upper lip and the nose shows an impressive and commanding personality. So on many occasions, Srila Prabhupada's memories, again, they've said, like when he's come to the airport, they've all come to visit him. So there's so many people there. There's the security. But what happens is that he comes along and everything almost like freezes, stands still. He's coming across and there's kirtan going on and everybody's doing their dandavats. And those people who've seen this view for the first time, they actually feel his presence directly. They have a direct perception of him. Because there's this glow around him. There is this almost like a connection that he's making with every personality that's there. Isn't that interesting? And he's able to do that. Why? Because he's got this Shakti from within, this connection with Krishna. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami had this special connection with Krishna. Remember, at the time when he was born, Sukadeva Goswami was Sukha in Krishna Leela, the parrot of Radharani. And when Radharani was winding up, Krishna was winding up their pastimes on this material plane, Radharani said to Sukadeva Goswami, or Sukha the parrot, to stay here. But he wasn't very happy, so then she said, okay, well, why don't you spend some time in this material world hearing Bhagavad Katha, Bhagavatam, and the pastimes of Krishna and our pastimes here. So he said, okay, well, where can I go to find that? So he actually went, as Sachirani Mataji mentioned in her class, he went to Kailash, and this is where Lord Shiva was reciting the Bhagavatam to Parvati. And this is where he sat on the top of the tree, listening to Lord Shiva. Anyway, I won't go into that story. That's already been covered in the Friday's class. Let's come back to Prabhupada's description and his character traits. The thick lips confirm his exquisite sense of that which is beautiful and is worthy of attention. Since now look out for people with thick lips. Plenty here. Srila Prabhupada's thicker upper lip shows simplicity of expression and the ability to condense difficult concepts into a single statement that is easily understood. His bold chin explains his bravery as well as his deep compassion for others. The dimple in the middle of Srila Prabhupada's chin is the mark of an undisputed leader. So how many of us have, you know, dimples on our chins? When he spoke, he used to show mostly his lower teeth. This fact also shows the great compassion embedded in his character. Srila Prabhupada's broad nose exhibits great particularity in work, and his large nostrils show a man that is outwardly wealthy. His double chin, careful, shows a realization of goals achieved in later years. Remember, again, we're talking about pure devotees now. Sometimes people think, oh, he's got a double chin, he must be eating a lot of maha sweets and mangal sweets during prasadam time. But no, Prabhupada was transcendental to these bodily conceptions. These actual features mean something special. As pure devotees, they show certain character traits, like we've discussed. His large ears signify wisdom and a sense of hearing that goes beyond the material world. Again, our philosophy is about shravanam. We need to hear well. We need to have that ability to concentrate the mind on the hearing process so that we can then hear the messages of Harinam and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then many, many things like that. So it's good to have these nice big ears. Unfortunately, I've got tiny ones, so I can't hear very well. The unique facial features of Srila Prabhupada reveal many facets that can be read with great depth. Yet still another attribute is the shape of his revealing the features of his brain, something which can study freely due to the fact that his head was always shaved. So maybe that's why. Another reason why Srila Prabhupada asked us to shave heads, Maybe he needs to see what kind of brains we've actually got. I actually never thought of that. Obviously, cleanliness and all that parampara style is there. But this is another reason I never thought of that. So, yes, it's quite striking and interesting to see why when we have shaved heads, we can actually see the size of our brains. Shri Radha Gopinanda Bhagwan ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Gornitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. So this study, actually in the science world, is known as phrenology. It's a predecessor to psychology, and this study of the shape of the head is a science that came into its own in the 18th century. The main objective of this science is to examine the size of the brain areas as seen from the surface of the skull. The founder of the modern-day phrenology was German Franz Josef Gall. By studying his classmates at school, he discovered that some of the students with protruding eyes had better memories. Phrenology is popularized by Gall's follower named Johann Spurzheim. Later, a Scottish lawyer named George Coombe would become the main promoter of phrenology throughout English-speaking world after he was convinced of its merits by viewing the brain dissections performed by Spurzheim. Obviously, when we pass away, we have organ donation, and the brain is obviously donated. So they do studies on the brain and actually understand through the positions of the skull how the brains work, but also gives us these character traits and understanding of how individuals behave in their mannerisms and relationships are built. So you see, Prabhupada was expert at all of these aspects. So the article is quite long. I won't go into all these parts. But it says, in truth, phrenology's origin can be found in the Vedas and are bundled under the heading of Samudrika Shastra. It's a specific type of Vedas that describe these science. And so you can see even in today's, in this Shastras, the rishis who examine the auspicious marks on the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu as he slept on the Garbhagriha ocean. So they were already reading different signs of the Lord to understand what are his character traits. That's interesting, isn't it? We can see how individuals sleep, how they behave, how they actually roll over, even move, and then we can understand their character traits and read their body language. So there's so many ways of reading the body language. And science has actually taken on this art of reading body language. There are many, we'll come to this a little bit later on, but there are many aspects of science that psychology takes into account about how to read body language and can understand the behavior traits of individuals. I'll finish this article then. The bump on the back of his head, this is Srila Prabhupada again, shows parental love and care of all living entities. As seen in a photo taken of His Divine Grace, where he was taking a daily stroll with his head up, held up high as he would walk. And that's another trait. In fact, the cranial region that rules spirituality coincides with the area that Srila Prabhupada has always pointed towards the sky. So it also, and a lot of people started emulating this walk. Many of his disciples started emulating his walk, like how he was holding himself up. Though he was small in stature, but often people felt his personality literally overcome them. So he had this distinct walk, and it would appear that he was self-realized and was able to hold his head high in a dignified angle. So beauty exists there in many, many forms like that. Ordinary people find faces of dolls to be beautiful, even though not alive. Srila Prabhupada's features were extremely vibrant, therefore emanated this light of real beauty and eternal life. In his horoscope or his astrology, his astrologer, when his horoscope was read, Srila Prabhupada's, I said that this personality is and control of his movements himself. He can come and go as he pleases. It's quite interesting. So in reality, we know that Srila Prabhupada was a transcendental traveler, just like Narada Muni. He can really go anywhere that he likes. So that was the article that I came across, thanks to Lord Krishna and obviously Vedabase and all the devotees who put Vedabase together. And because I didn't have much time to prepare for the class. However, I came across also other aspects where we know within the philosophy, Jiva Goswami talks about the in his Tattva Sandarbha, the pramanas. You know pramanas? The key pramanas, there are 10 key pramanas. These are basically the evidences of truth and ways of acquiring knowledge. So, over to you now. As I was talking about all these different features, which personalities do you recognize amongst us or amongst you have come across who go through these features and these character traits? Any that come to mind? In your studies, in your travels? No? Yes, Prabhu.
I know that, well, looking at like, the comparison, Radha Maharaj, his eyes are very much like that as well. They're quite thick and big, you know.
Big.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you, yes. Radha Maharaj, yes.
His Holiness Bhaktacharya Maharaj has his bump on the back of the head.
The back of his head, also. Exactly. I'd notice that too. Anyone else want to share? Another character trait is bushy eyebrows. They also mean a lot of personalities in terms of wisdom, in terms of how they can connect with people. Anyway, we can go on. But I wanted to also cover off on this evidences of truth, pramanas. Obviously, we know that there are three key pramanas that we imbibe in. And these are ways of actually acquiring knowledge. I'm sure you guys all know these pramanas. Guru Sadhu Shastra, yes, that's our relationships after we've built up those relationships. Pratyaksha. Sorry, David Prabhu. Vada. Yes, Sam Prabhu. Pratyaksha, Shabda, and Anuman. And Pratyaksha is direct perception of the senses. Anuman is induction, and Shabda is verbally revealed testimony. So these aspects, especially Shabda, which is what Jiva Goswami actually emphasizes in his Tattva Sandarbha, he says that is what Vaishnavas actually look at. And these are more transcendental or spiritual in nature, these three. But there are seven others. Are pramanas also, and these ten pramanas form part of this Tattva Sandarbha that Jiva Goswami has written, and these are evidences of how we can acquire knowledge and acquire relationships with each of us. The seventh one especially talks about this physiognomy as described in this purport, and that is cheshta or gesture. We may have seen in classical Indian music, there is Kathak or Mudra dancing, or the ways of actually describing stories through dance. When we went to Radhadesh, there's a great personality there who, in the art center, does many, many shows, and he dances like an amazing personality. He's telling lots of stories about Krishna Katha. So cheshta is a way of knowing the truth through mudras or bodily gesticulations or mannerisms. Those who are learned in the science of mudras can understand a great deal about others by studying their posture, their body language, their physiognomy, and general outward appearance. The Vedic culture dance, for instance, the movements of the dancers' eyes and hands tell an intricate story. In more mundane environments, people make the victory sign, or sometimes the offensive gesture, the opposite victory sign, communicating either they are wanted or they should go away. So you see, there are many ways of actually communicating through mannerisms, through physiognomy. And so there are many ones listed like that. So even like as I was saying, physiognomical calculations have been, in the material world, in science world, have also taken shape, and material scientists learn about individuals. So for example, there are a few websites that describe how we can look at individuals' character traits, and these have come from this specific Veda. These psychological science has come from these Vedas. There's a site called Hack Spirit. You can look it up. It says 12 physical traits that reveal your personality, and this is how corporates and organizations out there, in the interviewing process or in their process of appraisals, understand how they create personality traits. And these personality traits testing has come from these kind of sites. So there's physical traits that reveal personality. So here it is, according to science. It says, people who are taller, have rectangular faces, are more likely to be leaders. People with strong personalities tend to have strong jaws. So again, facial features. More agreeable people have larger eyes. Extroverted people tend to have larger lips. So there you go. People with large noses have more ambition. So and then I'll ask you again whether you've come across these personalities in your life. There are shared behaviors in people with the same eye color. Interesting, huh? Men with larger facial width to height ratios are more aggressive. That's quite a standard one. And then extroverted people smile more. That's quite an interesting one, right? So you see that and many others like that. Seven things that your faces say about you. This is from the Business Insider. Confidence, when you have good proportion, wide width, it tells you about confidence. Friendliness indicates the distance between the top of the eyebrow and the eyes, and compared to the height of the eye. And then tolerance is indicated by the horizontal distance between the eyes, like the distance there, and then this brow here. And then sense of humor indicated by the length of the philtrum. And I don't know much about this science, but there is a whole science behind this, you see. It actually translates into practical terms how we connect between the individuals and their character traits. So you see, science and scriptures, there is so much connectivity, and yet the scientists and the material scientists out there negate the Vedas, negate the scriptures. And yet there is evidence here that shows clear connection between the Shastra that we mentioned and scientists. It's 8:30, I've got a lot more to cover, but let me see if I've covered the main points. Anyway, that was enough about the material science. Let's get back to our spiritual discussions. Once we've established the character traits of a pure devotee from their physiognomical calculations, we can also think about the pure devotee and their personalities, especially in the case of Srila Prabhupada, how he came to the West. And what did he do? He transformed the environment that he was traversing through. Everywhere he went, he was transformed. Similarly, Sukadev Goswami came to this place where all these rishis had assembled with Maharaj Parikshit, and that place today is called Sukatal. It's called Sukhata. That place exists today. You can go and visit it. And that they are, you can visit that place. It's actually famous because of that advent of where Sukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit for 7 days. There is a question. Sukhatal? I know, I can find out for you. Let's all go on a pilgrimage to Sukhatal. Haridwar? Okay, maybe it's near there. Maybe it's near there, but we can find out. Yeah, we can find out. Okay, so in summary, I've got some more to talk about, but in summary, we talked about the character traits of great personalities, like Srila Prabhupada, through the physiognomy of a pure devotee. We understood how features give certain bodily aspects and rise to their personal character traits. We learned about the modern science, how modern science uses physiognomy and the ability to look at pramans to actually inform about individuals and how to build relationship with people. And then we understood about Chesta Praman and how mudras and mannerisms inform us in terms of the art of dance and give us the story during classical music. Hare Krishna. I'd like to take some questions, chastisements, corrections, or otherwise. Yes, Padre Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. That was very, very interesting. My question is, you see how we have these external features. You gave the example of the way Prabhupada walked and held himself. So these are like a reflection of his internal character. But if we imitate, we change the way we walk like Prabhupada, does that then help us develop these traits that Prabhupada has?
You mean fake it till you make it, huh? maybe. The thing is, you know, as they say in everything in life, you know, you have to practice, put things into practice first. If you want to have an internal transformation, you firstly start with an external transformation. I'm not saying we should imitate, by far, no, don't imitate, but actually have, understand the character traits so that we can perhaps imbibe a small percentage of that character traits within ourselves. The journey begins from the change of the heart, not the change of the body. And then the physiological and the psychological changes also occur. The more association we have with these pure devotees, the more purification we'll have within the heart, within the soul. That's where the journey begins. Not in the mannerisms or just fleeting moment that we'll imitate the great personalities. Yes, that's there. But if we are literally looking to imitate, we should imitate everything about them. About their mannerisms, about how they interacted with people, about how they were in terms of their purity. So this is what I was saying about pure devotees. I mean, others may want to add more to that question. Yes, Prayojana Prabhu.
One of the characteristics, also Prabhupada, he was sober, he was dhira. And definitely that was a powerful trait with him. And also he had a sense of humor.
Yeah,
you know, as well. But he was a sober person, he was dhira. You know.
Thank you. Amrita Vilasimad.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. I just wanted to share about Shachimata Mataji, that she actually, because she is such a senior disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami, and she is so close to him that when she speaks, the way, the tone, and what she speaks, it resembles so much His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami that it really proves that, like you said, that the more we are following, the more we are associating with those great personalities, we develop those characteristics, and this is really proof. This is really amazing.
Definitely. Yes. Yes, Mataji is amazing, especially when she's also the way she makes prasadam. And when I was serving Guru Maharaj, some of the flavors that she also makes prasadam, because she often makes cooks for the deities, and that flavors come across also. So the character traits also transferred in that way too. It's amazing. Anyone else want to share different things that you may have come across? For example, in kirtan, you know, Sutta Prabhupada leads kirtan here, and often we see many devotees sometimes in the future leading similar sort of kirtans. Abhaya, who's a transcendental madanga player, sings amazing bhajans and kirtans. Often we find devotees emulating or at least taking some of those traits in their kirtan playing too. So like that, there are many, many things that we can take from individuals. We can then look to develop that close relationship with people through this art of physiognomy. Hare Krishna Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaura Bhaktavrinda Ki.